You're listening to Tech Bytes, a quick hit podcast that gets to the good stuff while other shows are still doing introductions. Our sponsor today is Riverbed, and we're going to talk about how to triumph over the complexity of hybrid networking. Our guests from Riverbed are Marco Di Benedetto, he is SVP and CTO, and Brandon Carroll, Senior Tech Evangelist. Marco and Brandon, welcome to the show. Let's start off with, how do you guys define hybrid networking and what makes it so complex?
Well, to me, hybrid networking is any networking where you need interoperability between different technology stacks. And so you can think about the interaction between internet and MPLS being different technology stacks need to interoperate in order for the user to be able to connect to all the different services that are offered through those networks. Or you can think about branches and data centers on the one hand and clouds on the other hand, right? Applications are going to span across these different places, and networking needs to be able to connect seamlessly from one to the other. And so that's where you need to have this type of hybridization for the network. And interoperability in this context implies a lot of special configuration, right? When you want to connect one technology stack and a different technology stack. And I think SD-WAN is very good at that. SD-WAN is very good at enabling you to have a simplification around your hybrid networking. And it allows you to connect these different technology stacks seamlessly when everything is very easily templatable within your environment.
So essentially, the days are gone when all the applications lived in your data center and your job was to make sure the user got access to those applications, whether they were on-premises or at a branch and just tunneling back some way to that premises. Now they could be going to a cloud. Now they could be connecting branch to branch. Now they could be doing a million things. So that's hybrid, and that's obviously sounds very complex.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, one joke that I like to make is that even if you don't think that you have any hybrid, the day that you start deploying SD-WAN, you're going to have a hybrid, because the deployment of SD-WAN is not going to be a one-shot thing that is going to complete within a minute. It's going to take some time. And so it's going to force you to live in this hybrid world, whether you want it or not.
I think the challenge here, too, is the fact that cloud networking is so radically different. The way that public cloud networks connect to the external world isn't anything like a private WAN or even like a traditional SD-WAN. And there's also that translation from, this is my SD-WAN and I'm trying to map it on my, into my stack. But public cloud networks are completely proprietary. They're all different at every site. So Azure is different from AWS, is different from Google. And you're actually trying to mix vinegar and wine and water to try and bring it together into a single thing. It's not a simple thing.
That's an interesting recipe. I should try sometime.
Well, I was going to go with gin and tonic, but they really go together.
That's good. So back to that's absolutely right. We have all actually in reality, many of these technologies are going to try to claim similarities. Right? They're going to try to claim similar capabilities. But then when it comes to the details, when it comes to being able to actually deploy your network and your applications in those networks, then that's where the rubber hits the road, and you're going to find that the slight differences between one technology and the other are enough to make you waste a week trying to figure out what you have to do.
So I wonder if you could drill down a little bit, because you talk to SD-WAN vendors and they say, yes, it's very easy to deploy. It's all supposed to be very simple, zero-touch provisioning and cloud-based configuration and all that's supposed to be easy, but you're saying this transition to SD-WAN, there can be hidden complications.
Yeah, so the challenge here is that when you talk about SD-WAN, in many cases it's a lot more compelling. It feels a lot more compelling to talk about greenfield, even though we don't want to mention greenfield, right? The assumption that you're already past the SD-WAN transition and everything is SD-WAN already in your network, and you're just on a single pane of glass looking at all of your nice devices humming together and working very well and recognizing issues and fixing them from that single control plane, that's very easy in principle, very nice in principle. But in practice, how do you get there, right? You start from an environment that's probably hybrid already, right? In the definitions we were talking about earlier, you're not going to have a single definition on networking. The reason why you think that networking is complex is because you needed to have very deep routing stacks to do things that you couldn't otherwise have done with the environments that you had, whether it was about connecting a branch to the special requirements, or it was about an acquisition that you were forced to incorporate into your network, right?
But I think the secret of SD-WAN in a lot of ways is that it's not like that anymore. We don't need to know nitpicky details and 1,000 knobs and levers and buttons just to get everything, to get the basics working. The basic works out of the box. And like the riverbed stuff, I've seen the demos from your product, and it literally is, you just take it out of the box and you say, let this connect to Azure and go out direct to the internet, and boom, my connectivity is done. I don't need to go and define every IP address that Microsoft Azure is networking. That to me is a real transition here.
Yeah, no, and absolutely. I mean, and I think Brandon can talk more about that, but in a nutshell, you have the chance to get something that easy and something that simple to operate. But in practice, you're going to have circumstances where potentially you're going to find yourself in a special situation, right? All those special cases that we in networking always like to talk about. And those special cases are not going to go away just because you have a simpler way to deploy things. You're going to deploy the new things in a simpler way, but your old world doesn't go away just because you're using
it. Yeah, that's right. So what are some of the key issues then around a deployment there? Like I'm thinking of things like physical to virtual, cloud client, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, so like Marco was talking about how the old stuff doesn't go away, and everybody's network is a unique snowflake, right? I mean, there's something there that's going to pose a challenge. And when I think about the challenges that that customers are going to deal with, I'm thinking about trying to bridge the gap between what you have and where you're trying to move. Like organizations are in a transition, right? We're not massively building out data centers like we used to. We're putting stuff in the cloud, right? We're making use of those. But at the same time, we're splitting things between clouds. How do you bridge that gap? How do you provide the connectivity into that? And I think that's some of that's just a little bit of the challenge that they face. You still got MPLS out there. What are you doing with MPLS only site?
So Brandon, let's turn that into something realistic. How does Riverbed actually address that directly? How do we overcome these different problems in the cloud?
Sure. So StillConnect EX is our SD-WAN offering, and it has everything. So we talked about how things need to be simple. Everybody wants simple, but you also need something that's going to cover all the bases, right? Because networks are unique. So when it comes to the StillConnect EX, you talk about support for hub and spoke environments, brownfield environments, so that those MPLS-only sites can talk to everybody else. Internet-only sites can talk to everybody else. Full mesh, that's all there. It's all template-based, and that's easy. But now you can still dig in underneath and adjust anything that you need to adjust. And that's what customers need.
Sometimes I want to do a spoke design. Sometimes I want a full mesh design. So you've got the ability to go across the whole spectrum of choices there. Because not all SD-WAN vendors can do that.
Right. And at the same time, right? Your network, part of it's hub and spoke, part of it's full mesh, part of it's, you know, it's a mix. So you can do that all. It's all templatized. And then, of course, that means that you're going to be deploying because networks, the architectures are all different. You're going to need virtual appliances. You're going to need cloud appliances. You're going to need physical appliances. And then between all of those, you've got to have a routing stack that's going to support everything. BGP, right. OSPF, VRS for isolation. And then put the icing on the cake. Now that we've got all that connectivity and all that deep technical capability, you got to secure it, right? And so
that's interesting because not all SD-WAN vendors put an emphasis around routing protocols or routing stack. Have you seen customers looking for strong routing protocol support to integrate into their networks? Is that something they need a lot of?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We actually see that more often than not. The challenge is that as we were talking about earlier, there's a transition time for SD-WAN. And so during the transition, for sure, you need to be able to connect to the part of your network that is not SD-WAN enabled yet. And so that level of connectivity needs to support whatever type of routing protocols that classic side of your network is still implementing. And you cannot interoperate with that unless you support the full stack of routing.
Hmm. And I would add to that that whatever you do, it should be able to bring in all the routing that you need without having somebody go spend a whole lot of time learning something else. I mean, BGP and OSPF, these are protocols that have been around a long time. People know how they work. So having those fully implemented in Steel Connect EX means that you don't have to go spend your time figuring out how I'm going to get this solution to talk to that solution. If you know BGP, if you know OSPF, if you know how to redistribute, you're going to be able to make it happen.
So if there are use cases where I need to get under the hood to get a couple of branches to talk to each other or a branch to data center, I can use these routing protocols that I'm familiar with while in other sites I may be using whatever overlay is provided out of the box.
Exactly.
Can you talk a little bit more about security capabilities? You said that was key to Riverbed. What do you bring into the table?
Well, sure. You know, a lot of times you see this tendency to backhaul traffic, and especially when you onboard branches with SD-WAN, it's common to backhaul the traffic and then push the traffic through those big firewalls in the data centers. Mm-hmm. But that adds latency, and that, you know, there's challenges that they face there. So for certain types of traffic, we have the capability to go direct to net. Well, now you got traffic going in and out, touching the internet. Aside from just your overlay traffic, you've got user traffic going to the internet. It needs to be secured. And so, again, this is where with Steel Connect EX, you just enable the next-gen firewall capabilities. You can now, you know, NAT's all done there, of course. And you can antivirus, anti-malware, URL filtering, that whole suite of security capabilities can be done right there in the branch and yet controlled from the central management system, from the director.
I'm getting all of that on box, next-gen firewall, anti-malware, et cetera.
Exactly.
Okay, it's not even a separate appliance, a separate purchase.
Nope.
Okay, but still all centrally managed.
Yep. And template driven, right? So consistency. So
you've talked about that a couple of times, Brandon. Why don't you explain that for you? What do you mean by template?
Yeah, so let's say, for example, you've got configurations that are common, right? So I'll just stick with the security example. So if we have branch offices and we have certain types of traffic, like Office 365 traffic that we want to allow to go direct to net, but we still want to have some filtering done there in the branch. Well, our policies are going to look the same from branch to branch to branch. So rather than have to go to each branch device and enable the firewall and configure the policies, I simply create a template. It's called a service template. You enable the firewall, you set up your policies, and then now that template can be applied to a group of devices, whatever branch devices you want this to be applied to. Now I need to make a change. I make a change to the template, push it out, applies to everybody. And so it gives you a nice way to group things. Data center, if you're going to put an SD-WAN appliance in the data center, its policies are going to look different than the branch is going to look. And branches vary in size, so their policies are going to look different.
Okay, so we're talking about hybrid networking, and at the beginning we said that sort of you're in this transition between going from your current state to an SD-WAN, and there's sort of this wonderful endpoint where it's all SD-WAN and everything's nice and beautiful and easy to use. But with hybrid networks, are you ever really done? Is there actually a before and after, or just sort of this ongoing mix of requirements and different needs?
Well, that's a very good question, actually. There's definitely a before and after SD-WAN. And as we said, there's a transition between one stage and the other. But the networks are never static, right? There's always going to be some changes that are going to be needed. Somebody tells you that now you need to integrate an acquired company into your environment. Well, you had everything hunky-dory and now it's not anymore for a little while. Or you were not using multiple clouds and now you need to start using Azure. You were already using AWS, but all these transitions are going to happen. There's going to be demands from the business are going to require you to adapt, and you need to choose an SD-WAN solution that allows you to adapt quickly and that offers all the options that are needed for that. Even though you might not need something today, it doesn't mean you're not going to need it ever.
So what you're saying is I need something that's both repeatable so I can do sort of large scale rollouts, but also flexible to adjust to the changing conditions.
Exactly.
So that brings me back, I guess, to the templates that Brandon was talking about. I can just push out, you know, X kind of security requirements for Y kind of branches. But if there's a change, I can also make sure that change hits all those branches.
You can do that, or if you have a specific requirement only for one branch, then you can take that exception and deal with that exception separately.
And what about ongoing operational challenges? As you said, the network is never static. How is Riverbed helping me manage or deal with all the ongoing challenges that I'm facing in this hybrid networking world?
So I think when it comes to operational challenges, what we see is that another thing that's hard is the after the fact, right? So it's deployed, things are running, now things change. We've talked about that change, transition and change. And what happens after the fact when you have to revert back to the old way of doing things. So say, for example, an acquisition, right? You acquire someone and then they're not running the same stuff we're running. And now we've got to integrate this network. And hey, they even have overlapping address space. So again, I think it comes down to how robust the platform is. All of the features built into this allow you to step back and say, okay, it's not that big of a deal. I can simply use what I know from networking, things I've always known. And if I need to NAT in both directions, I can do that. If I need to enable a routing protocol over here and redistribute into this one, I can do that. So that capability is always there. Whenever we face these operational challenges, I don't want to have to say, well, the SD-WAN solution I have doesn't actually support that. I just want to go fix it.
So you're really saying that, I think if I summarize that into a bit of a buzzwordy thing, you're equally focusing on the day two experience, which isn't just the day one. Like a lot of vendors focus on the day one problem of selling you something. Here's your fancy automatic load balancing and here's your cloud. You should buy this because it's totally better than whatever. What you're also saying here is you're also considering day two. So after you've bought it, you still want it. You don't sort of end up with a buyer's remorse situation of going, oh, I wish I hadn't bought this. This isn't as good as I thought it was.
Yeah. And two, I think that, you know, while our SD-WAN solution can fit pretty much any architecture that you throw at it, and it can integrate and it can provide all of that stuff, when it comes to operational challenges, it's not just that network connectivity, right? There's all kinds of other things that that opens up to. It opens up to performance. And of course, Riverbed knows performance, so we can help with that. And visibility, you have to be able to see things to deal with those operational challenges. And Riverbed knows how to handle that too.
Well, that brings us to the end of this conversation. Marco and Brandon, thank you for joining us. And how can folks find out more about Riverbed and the SteelConnect EX?
Well, you can visit our website, riverbed.com, and read our blogs at riverbed.com/blogs.html. And you're going to find a lot of information about these products there.
Fantastic. So take a surf over to riverbed.com. Thank you to Marco and Brandon and to Riverbed for being a sponsor. You can find this and many more fine free technical podcasts along with our community blog at packetpushers.net. You can follow us on Twitter at packetpushers. Find us on LinkedIn, like us on Facebook, and rate us on Apple Podcasts. And last but not least, remember that too much networking would never be enough.